Blog Talk Radio.
My brother Phoenix is here in the house. What's up, Phoenix?
Hey, man. Here we are.
Here we are. This is it, y'all. And, you know, I want to say hello to all the listeners around the world. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and being a part of Solar Records Radio. This is truly a gift and an opportunity for us to come on and just hang out with you guys and chop it up and try to do life together, right? Just kind of just talking about life and how, you know, life can be very beautiful, but at the same time, you always have the other side of the coin, right? So we have to try to figure out how to navigate in it in a safe way, and that's why we're here, because we want to be a blessing to each other and just try to put our brains together, your questions and your thoughts and our questions and our thoughts, right? So that's what we're going to do today, Phoenix. Well, how you been? How you been, bro?
I'm great, man. I'm great. You know, it's good to put one foot in front of the other and not trip on it, so.
Okay.
It's a blessing.
Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's a what?
No, I always think of Jeremiah. That's just, you know, man is not capable of directing his own steps. So the inverse of that is that we're fortunate when we're allowed to step in front of the other foot and not trip. You know, it's so easy to lose one's balance and to think that you're self-propelled, but only to find out that, guess what? You had nothing to do with it. I understand that. I see that Christopher Williams, a good friend of ours, music compadre, seems to be very ill. And I was reading him on Facebook this morning.
Really?
And I said, you know, see, the one that is standing doesn't fall. You know, we all are imperfect. We all make mistakes. Today's topic really gets into self-analysis, self-evaluation in connection to our partners, and if they really value the progression or if they help us to get to be our personal best. These are all blessings, and sometimes we take it for granted.
Yeah,
so we hear one of our buddies are lost or fallen or sick. It helps to amplify the humility, hopefully, within us. To change our focus,
appreciate little
things.
Yeah, it's really important that we recognize that and apply the proper action to it, because it's really important that we pay attention and we do what we need to do to navigate through life. You know, you know, I mean, I have brothers that all the way back from elementary school, I remember being in elementary school and I was supposed to go play hooky. I was supposed to go play hooky for the first time. And I thought, oh, how interesting that is to go play hooky. I heard other kids talk about it. And I think I was in like in the fifth or sixth grade and I heard other kids talk about it. I was like, okay. So they were saying, so you want to do it? I was like, Okay. But the fear, the night when I went home and I thought about I'm going to play hooky tomorrow, the fear of my dad being upset with me, it scared me so bad that I was like, no, I just can't do it, as much as I wanted to do it, right? And so I remember not going and did, almost kind of forgot about it as school was going on. And then all of a sudden, bing, 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 on the loudspeakers in the school, we just want to report that we lost a couple of our students who decided to play hooky and went to the reservoir and fell. One of them fell into the reservoir and he lost his life. So we want to pray for their families. And I was like, oh my God, I was supposed to be there. I was going to go there. And so, you know, my point of saying this is that, you know, I've lost people all the way from back then as a little elementary school child, and still just a couple of weeks ago, lost my brother, William Shelby, that I did so much life with. And so that's why it's so important for us to pay attention, because, you know, life just disappears just like a light goes out. And it's just gone. It's just gone. It's just dark.
And then, you know, in connected to the attention, which I know is a mainstay of your discussions, but it's the action, the proaction, you know, to be actively taking part in the things that you observe as observable men. Because one thing is to be to acknowledge, and another thing is to act upon the knowledge, which is wisdom.
Right,
and
right.
So, yes, we have to pay attention, and then we need to be assertive, proactive, in order to change the trajectory or life's course, or to fundamentally have an effect on us as real people.
So if we all could look at this, if we could just picture this, we are all on this ship together, right? This life ship together. And we decided as a group of people that we are going to make sure that we're paying attention. That's why we're in this conversation, because we're paying attention, right? We are all paying attention. And so we need to make sure that we do what we need to do to make sure that this ship gets to where it's supposed to go safely and on time and whenever God wants it to get there. But we want, you know, the best part about us all being together is that we're paying attention, you know. And it's not just this show, but shows like this that you need to pay attention, because the people that live, that are the most successful people in the world, the most successful people in the world are the people that keep learning. They continue to learn. And when you know better, you should do better. And that's what is happening here. We need to know better so we can do better. And so we can, you know, navigate together. And so, you know what? We do need each other. As much as we think we don't need each other, we need each other. You know, y'all saw what happened with the pandemic when everybody was miserable because they couldn't be around each other. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I thought I was a loner. And I've always said that I am a loner. I don't really need people to make me feel adequate or happy. I just, when I want to go around people, I go around people. But most of the time, I just love being at home, being in the studio, you know, doing music and doing stuff that makes people happy. But then when I couldn't go, when I wanted to go, then I realized I need people. We were meant to be together. You know, and so it was a sad
man cannot
reality.
Live right alone.
That's right. But anyway, guys. So with all that being said, and thanks, Phoenix, for setting that up. We need to be proactive, like you said. Mm-hmm. So with all that being said, let's get into our discussion for today and what we're talking about. Does your partner make you feel that you are the best version of yourself? Does your partner make you feel that you are the best version of yourself? And so, you know, Phoenix, if you want to start, or I can start, it doesn't matter to me, but
my first knee-jerk response to that is that love is a two-way street. We've always heard that. And when you move in tandem with your partner, the first key word to me is feeling. You know, for the feeling to transcend electrically between two principal components within a relationship, there has to be a connection, like an electrical circuit. And to be at your personal best means that you should be humble because, as you always mention, are you aware? Are you paying attention? And when you pay attention, it should put you in a humble place because you're working at that personal best. And if you're not selfishly motivated and if you really are concerned with having the connection with your partner, then you want to move in tandem with them. You want to move in synchronicity, in perfect synchronicity. You want to be able to validate each other and have what young kids call a come up. You know, help me come up. Bring me up. You know, if I'm slipping, you lift your hand down to me and you pull me up and vice versa. So at no given time do we go in separate directions. We may have separate interests. But, you know, to be in a humble position in a relationship where you feel your partner helps you and acknowledges the fact that you need to be at your personal best, there's no greater feeling in the world. That to me is the ultimate yes. relationship, is knowing yes. that you're both are moving in the same direction. Beautiful thing.
Absolutely. I love that. Thank you. It's a lot of pressure for relationships, for the individual in relationships to try to do everything right. We're going to fail. And we, even as we try to be our best, we're going to make mistakes along the way because we're humans. You know, we may react to something inappropriately, but not really meaning to. It just came out the way. I'm sorry, you know. But that's what it all starts with, is people being able to communicate with each other, being able to acknowledge the fact that they did something wrong and accept the responsibility for their actions and make sure that their partner is aware of their actions. So when I believe that I was in a long relationship where my wife did not make me feel like I was the best version of myself. And that was my first marriage. I really felt that I was struggling all the time. And it was really sad because all I wanted was for the best to happen. And I wanted, and I did whatever I could, even though my friends had told me that this situation don't seem to be good for me. I actually got frustrated with them because I wanted to believe that what I believed was right and that this is going to work out. And I had to prove them wrong. And in the process of doing everything I could to be my best, when my partner wasn't doing her best to be her best, it didn't go anywhere. As a matter of fact, I worked so much harder because the other side of the relationship was going in the other direction, which made it very difficult. But sometimes when you're in the storm, you can't see clearly, you know, and you're just doing your best. You're trying so hard. And that's very sad when you just think about it, when you're working so hard to make this a beautiful looking relationship, but yet it's only one of you doing that. That right there. It, you know, the other person is going in the other direction and you're going in your direction and you're hoping for the best. I've seen that many times when women would do that and the guy would busy be doing something else and the woman's crying and stuff because they can't get the attention that they need because the husband's caught up in their career or something. They're so busy doing their career that they forget about the emotional attention that's lacking in a relationship. And, you know, when we get together with someone, what we do to get them is what we need to continue to do to keep them, because that's what they become accustomed to.
That's what, rather it's the guy, the girl, the, you know, whatever your situation is, we need to make sure that we're paying attention to their, our mate's needs. And so my ex is my ex because she didn't pay attention to my needs. And I try very hard, but I got to tell you this, I never was the one that said, I want a divorce because I made a promise to God. And so a lot of us can get trapped into relationships because of our religious beliefs, and we feel like even with Catholics, they can't really get divorced until the church approves it. That's weird. They can't legally get divorced. The church has to approve it. So,
well, I can understand that, because if you really look at it, and I don't, you know me, I like to remain neutral because I know there's a large part of our audience that are not Christian. But since you brought the topic up, I will address this much. Being a theologian, understanding the scriptures heavily, is that the Creator says very specifically, he hates a divorcing. I've gone through one and possibly my second. And that's the only thing I'm concerned with, I told my mate. It's not so much my own personal grievance, is that my Creator, the grand instructor, hates a divorcing. And if you don't think so, here's a commonality. What God has joined together, let no man take apart, not even Caesar. So he really, once he puts us together, he expects us to stay together. And like you, I might say, to my own defense, I never said that I wanted. It was always my counter. Wanted the divorce, one for totally different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to accept it. But I recognize that the Creator hates, which is a very strong word for him. He hates a divorcing. He says, what I've joined together, let no man take apart. And so we're talking about, on the positive end, really working at the best version. I'm a songwriter, as you know, and when I think of versions, I always reflect to the original. Okay, I don't write versions of songs. I write originals. And then if somebody wants to recut my song, they do what is called a version. But in a physical sense, in terms of a relationship, for me, what that translates is all of us want to get to a level of authenticity within our relationship, hopefully. We want to be authentic. And so we ask our mates to be truthful with us, help us. Maybe we're trying a new fashion, a new style, a new haircut. And we ask our mate, what do you think? Well, I don't like that. Or I don't like a beard. Or you should shave. And we do, as men, I know I do, anything that I need to. I shaved my beard off at one point because I thought that's what she wanted. And then after I shaved off, she says, you know what? I kind of like it, when she saw the stubble growing in. You should let it grow in. I let it grow in because you remain flexible. You know, when you put the needs of others ahead of yourself, you do things to please not your own selfish inclinations, but that of your mate. And so looking for validation within your marital arrangement, it's a beautiful thing because you're saying, hey, I don't have all the answers. I want to get to the authentic me. So there's different gradations or variations or versions of me arriving to the point of perfecting my imperfections. I used to say that. They said, well, what are you doing? I'm perfecting my imperfections. Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. Anybody that says they're perfect, it's, I don't want to say it, but I'll say it. It's a delusional state of mind. Nobody's perfect.
No one.
We all make mistakes. We all fall short. And so if you're looking to be at that point in your life, whether you're in your 20s, your 30s, 40s and up, that you want to be the best version of yourself, you're looking to stay humble. You're looking to seek the advice of not only your marital mate, but maybe the mature ones within your family. You know, the right ones that are maybe twice your age is going to give, you know, you say, well, hey, auntie, how am I doing? I don't know, son. That hairstyle you had is a little weird, or, you know, I don't know, you know, this new job, or you're changing jobs too much. But yeah, but I want to, you need to be more stable, or, you know what, you need to pay attention, like you say, to your wife a little bit more. I noticed at the family function, you were off there with your boys playing cards and doing what you did when you were 16. I know you, boy. You right, better get that straight or you're going to lose her, you know. So being willing, in other words, to take the advice of those that could have a profound effect that are not trying to hurt you. I know my aunt of 87 years old, she gave me her last bit of advice. She told me. She told me that I was a good man. And she said, Phoenix, don't allow your mate to change you, to lose, what she was saying, who you are at a root level. Always remain who you are because you're a good man. And if you find yourself disappearing within the relationship in order to please the other person, in effect, you're losing the authenticity of who you are. Mm-hmm. And according to my aunt of 87 years on the planet, she said, that's not good. I know you. You're a good man. Maintain who you are. Perfect your imperfections, but don't be in a relationship where you feel you're becoming so transparent that you're losing the rudimentary qualities of who you are. I thought that was very powerful advice from her.
Yes.
And I often reflect upon it.
I agree with her on that for sure. Let me see. I think I have something there. I have something here. But anyway, go ahead and finish your thought as I'm trying to.
Yeah. So, you know, I think today's topic fundamentally is one of self-evaluation of yourself in a humble standing. And it's also working in tandem with your marital mate or your person of interest in your life. Because when you put the needs of others ahead of yourself, I know for myself, I get tremendous satisfaction when I know little things. There's a scripture that says faithful in least is faithful in much. It might be a little thing, but if I know that's going to bring her pleasure, and like the old expression, there's no skin off my back, there's no harm, no foul, then why wouldn't I do that?
Yes.
You know, she likes me to save her a little coffee. I save a little coffee. She likes me to take out empty the dust from her Dyson because she's allergic to everything. I do it. It's no big deal. I don't have an issue. I don't have allergies. She has them profoundly. So sometimes it's just a little thing. It's not even a monumental thing. There's huge favor. But these are all working at your personal best. And then if your mate is reciprocal and they reciprocate in kind, and sometimes it's just a simple compliment. It doesn't have to be overboard. Hey, I appreciate that. Wow, she noticed. Oh, I see you saved me some coffee. Wow, she noticed. Oh, you emptied the dust thing out the Dyson. She noticed. That brings me satisfaction.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I do aim to please, and I do want to be validated by that.
It's the strangest thing when you were saying that she noticed is that I like when I'd done a few things that were just a few things that maybe she had asked me to do around the house, and then I finally got to them and I did them, and then she never said anything. I noticed that she didn't say anything, and I'm like, are we designed that way? Like, you know, hey, I did what you asked. Why didn't you say anything? And so, and if I don't say anything to her, and then we continue to go around and things like this continue to happen, and then this builds up inside of me, it's almost unfair to her. But I'm going to pull her and me out of it. It's almost unfair to the relationship. Because what I didn't do was tell her and give her a chance to recognize that this is something that I'm paying attention to. And if you care about me, then you will probably say the next time, hey, I saw you did that. Thank you. And see, that helps to keep the relationship going because now she knows that it bothered me that she didn't notice that I was doing things. But if you don't tell your mate the things that are bothering you, you can't expect for them to respond to them because sometimes they don't they can't read your brain. You know, they can't, and some things, they so people are so busy doing life and doing what they're doing, taking care. That's why, like, a guy get mad when a wife complains, like, I'm out here working every day trying to take care of the house, and you complain about something simple like that. But see, you're working to take care of your family, so you're not working you don't live to work. You work to live. And if your mate is, you know, part of you, then, you know, you can't cut her out like that. And sometimes we do. We get frustrated because of these little, you're nagging me. Don't nag me about little stuff. But little stuff can be monumental if we never get a chance to share it with you. If we never share it with you, it just ends up being that the mountain gets higher and higher, full of stress.
Hold on a minute, bro. Hold on. I mean, there's a lot of meat in what you're saying, and I don't want a few things to go
fast. Okay,
them be glossed over.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, nagging is different than complimenting. Busy is different than saying nothing at all. You know, there's 24 hours in a day. And at some point, yes, it might be your responsibility to say, hey, honey, did you notice that I did so-and-so? Oh, yeah, you know what I did. So there's different ways, you know, there's
right.
more ways than one. I don't want to say to skin a cat because I never did understand that expression. Kind of barbaric. But there's more ways than one to reach someone, to reach
right.
and to
well,
teach.
But you have to reach. That's the whole point, that you need to reach out and express how you're feeling.
You know, it's still a reciprocal thing. You know, we can't, you know, sometimes, I know I've been guilty of it as a man, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll say, well, you know, I wrote you a pass on that one. But honey, I've been writing you a pass for the last 6 months. I wrote you a pass on this. I wrote you a pass on that. You didn't say anything about this. I made the bed up. I did the laundry. I warmed the clothes. I did this. I did that. And it's starting to build up, and I'm starting to feel unappreciated. And maybe we need to get away. Maybe we need to go locally to a hotel and stay the night and get a different surrounding. Maybe we need to change our routine. But we have to be proactive in changing. It cannot be all one-sided. And that's why I use the expression, we have to work in tandem. You know, similar to a railroad track. The rails should be going in the same direction. And the connection should be the ties to the track. But if you're going left and I'm going right, and I find my solace amongst my buddies, and you find your solace amongst your girlfriends and the internet, we're not moving in tandem. You know, what are we working towards? Are we working towards common goals? Yes, there's going to be times, as I'm sure you on the radio, and your wife is taking care of things. I know she works in the professional capacity as well. That's okay. But at some point, the railroad should, you know, trains, the track should meet, and we should come together in a common setting. And
well,
so it's not a one side or the other side. We have to move in tandem.
Absolutely. But
that's
see, this, I think that it's important that we don't hold off on what we feel. We need to share it.
Oh, I agree.
As soon as,
you can't let it mount up.
Right. Because then it's frustrating. But I want to read this question from the listeners. Can my partner really make me feel inadequate? Or does that really come from my own core belief, my inner critic?
Well, there's two sides to the coin always. Yes. You know, if your mate browbeats you, that can whittle away at your infrastructure. I do believe as well, on the other side of the coin, is that if there is an inadequacy, or sometimes, as they mentioned, the truth hurts, and if it's something that you feel you're inadequate in, which is the whole basis of this discussion today, you know, what we're talking about is a partnership where the two work towards a common denominator. And it should never be, I know we live in a world of selfies and me first, and and self, you know, production of whatever we're into. But I think today what we're talking about on a core level is the community effort between a partnership and that feeling. Otherwise, why are we together? We're together because we love each other and because we share common interests, maybe children, maybe pets. Obviously, we live under the same roof, but we want to work in connection with each other. I'm sure, Wardell, when you're working on, because I've seen you do it, you'll ask your wife, what do you think about the topic today that we're going to discuss? Just to get her input, because you care. But if she says, you know what, I don't want to hear about your show. And sometimes we can get that.
Yeah, yeah.
But does it feel good? No. Can it whittle away from our infrastructure? Absolutely. Maybe we have a sensitivity. Maybe we feel, you know, inadequate in certain ways. And we're looking for a come up from our mate, not a put down. So in a roundabout way, there's two sides to that. Yes, it could be something that we're lacking, that we have a sensitivity. And yes, our marriage mate can belittle us if they're insensitive. But I think on the positive upswing, again, if we work in tandem with each other and we do things to upbuild, you know, scriptures are always talking about being upbuilding. To upbuild, it means to foster a positive connection. You know, we never want to denigrate someone. We never want to put them down. Mm. You know, let's say one of our marriage mates has a weight issue. We don't want to say, you know, you're getting fat. Oh, you know what? What are you, 6 months pregnant? You know, we don't want, that's never productive to me. It's counterproductive. As opposed to saying, you know what, babe, you and I are going to work on our intake. I noticed we've been hitting a steak. You know what? Let's do some salads. We can throw some avocado in there. You want to put some slices of chicken or even shrimp. But let's get a little leaner. You know, we're moving towards the winter months. We could put on extra weight. That's positive. So where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's an aunt, there's an uncle. We could do certain things. But that's
yes.
all I'm saying.
You know, I just want to say, you know, just from my position that we are hypothesizing that the individuals that we're talking about in this relationship love each other. We're talking about people who love each other, not just a couple that got together and trying to figure it out. These people love each other, you know, and so, you know, it's my goal is to just try to help. When you say partner, that means that's somebody that you are in it with. You know, and so we just want to make sure that we could share, you know, some information that helps us along the way, because this information, I apply it to my own situation. And most of our conversations that we have here on This Is It, I apply it to my life because I think it's very valuable information. And like I said, the richest people in the world are the ones, and rich is not just about money. It could be about happiness. It could be about health. You know, you can be very rich in happiness. You can be very rich in health. And so the richest people are the ones that keep learning, that constantly learn, you know, and don't think they got it all. And so, but I want, with that being said, I want to read something else from another listener. It says, I think that loneliness will be empty. We think that loneliness will be empty and painful, but sometimes companionship has a higher price, and that is so true.
Wow.
Because, you know, to be
you
by
said
yourself,
a mouthful.
Right, being by yourself, it can be lonely. You know, like I said, I was a loner. At least in my mind, I thought I was a loner, but when I could not.
I did it for 4 years, bro. And I did it for 4 years. And you know what? It gave me the opportunity. You know, I was told a long time ago by, I believe it was an aunt. Might have been my same aunt, my Aunt Pearl. And she says, you know, you get a chance when you're alone to find out who you really are and if you like yourself. And if you don't like yourself when you're alone, if you feel you got to fill yourself with sports shows and you got to fill yourself with the internet or, God forbid, porn or you your buddies or, you know, you got to fill all these empty spaces, maybe it's because you don't like yourself when you're alone. Sometimes just being alone, and I do it, I'll go in a room, I go in the media room, the lights are off, I don't dare turn on the television, I turn my phone down, and I listen to my disquieting thoughts. I give myself a chance. My dad used to, I said, Dad, what you doing? He says, I'm listening to my arteries hardening. He was a biologist, so he would always say something like that. But to give yourself a chance to settle into you and to decide, do I even like myself? Am I a good person? What did I do today? Man, I could have handled that differently. You know, these are the self-building blocks of finding a better version within you. So I agree wholeheartedly with your, with the audience member that participated with that statement. Because yes, sometimes you could be in a destructive relationship and learn nothing. But right, yet, if you spent that quality time alone figuring out who you are, what do you want? Where do I see myself the next 5 years from now? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What career choices? Where do I see myself financially? You know, do I want to stay in this job that I don't like? Or do I want to go back to school and better myself in an area that perhaps might be more profitable? Am I realistic about my goals? These are all thought-provoking questions that people do when they're alone. I became a great cook, bro, when I was alone. Man, I was the young ladies used to call me and they said, oh, Phoenix, I feel so bad. If I was with you, I would cook. And I said, wait a second. Let me just take a picture when I'm sitting down. They said, oh, my God. Yeah, that's brown rice and quinoa. That's black beans and a nice pepper sauce. And I've got some shrimp on the top, man, glazed shrimp. And I have a nice glass of Sauvignon, Cabernet Sauvignon. They go, oh, my God. That's how you eat? Yeah, this is not McDonald's, baby. Nothing against McDonald's. But you are what you eat, and I make good, healthy meals.
Well, you know, you need to invite me over, shoot.
Absolutely.
Stop being so selfish.
Black beans,
Greg.
I love black beans and brown rice and quinoa mix. Oh,
yeah.
Good stuff, bro.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, you got making me hungry. So I want to say this, that, you know, but that second half of that statement, but sometimes companionships have a higher price. And the thing about that is that, you know, I've been by myself from my first marriage to my second marriage. I was by myself for 10 years trying to figure out who do I want to be with. But my most important thing was raising my kids and making sure that they graduated and that they got launched off to college. That was my goal. So I stayed focused on that for the 10 years between my first wife and my second wife. And so once my youngest child was launched off to college, then, you know, I did decide I do want to be with somebody. I do, because I did not like – let me tell you why I didn't like being alone. I always be in Bible study on Tuesday night. This is Bible study. We're over there talking about the Lord and learning more stuff and men's issues and what we go through as men and as Christians. And we're having these heavy conversations, and somehow companionship pops in there. How did that happen? At the very end of our sessions – guys, I got to get out of here. What's up, man? We're just hanging out for a bit. No, I got to get to my wife. She needs me to do that. And the other guy said, oh, yeah, I got to get to my wife, too. And I remember being so lonely. Like, man, I want to have somebody to go home to.
If you think you're lonely now, until tonight.
Well, and so I was lonely for that relationship. But once I got into it, it was now I'm doing something with somebody else, and I now have a responsibility to that person as well as my own happiness, right? And so I have to, it's now, it's not just about, okay, well, I'm just going to go to the gym. When I was by myself, I'm just go here. And I didn't have to call and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. Where are you? You wanted to, do you need anything? It was all about me. So it's just, there's a lot more, it's a higher price to pay when you're in a relationship. So if you decide you're going to be in a relationship, then own that. You need to know that there's a higher price to pay, and you have to put, you know, and be ready for it. Be willing to accept the issues that's going to come up and just go for it. But you know, to actually get into a relationship and think you don't have to pay a higher price, is you're kidding yourself, because you have a responsibility to somebody else. And so you don't get in there selfishly and just get what you want out of it and not allow the other person to get what they need out of it. That is selfish and is wrong, and we can't do that to people. If you're going to do that, leave her or leave him alone and let them find someone that's going to be, that's going to treat them the way that they deserve to be treated. And you go do your own thing, is what I'm thinking. So anyway, so
very true. I mean, that, you know, just like a bank account, you know, it's an investment. It should be interest rated quarterly or biannually. Relationships, you get what you put in, you get it out. And so if it's reciprocal, and that's, you know, bringing it back to what the discussion is, you know, it has really to do with, you know, working together within a relationship bound by love, where the two give each other the opportunity to come up to their personal best, because we're never going to be perfect. And if you're looking for perfections in others that doesn't exist in yourself, you're setting mm-hmm. yourself up for failure. So
right.
It's really being reciprocal. It's being realistic. It's setting realistic goals. If you feel that your mate has certain health issues or certain restrictions, I've seen cancer patients, I've seen their partner shave their hair off. Man, what an outward display of harmonious love to work in tandem, to make that person feel valued. I mean, that's an extreme sense or case, but there are relationships where people take these matters very seriously.
Oh, absolutely.
And so you have to be willing to make those sacrifices. You have to be willing to deposit positive feedback into your bank of love.
Absolutely. And you have to know who you're getting in a relationship with. If they are that kind of person you just mentioned.
That's good.
Greg will figure it out and let us know what the title of it is. But if you have to know who you're getting in a relationship with. Because if you're getting in, like what you said, a relationship with somebody who is like that and take those things very seriously, then you need to take that very seriously and decide on if you want to be in a relationship with someone.
Absolutely.
Who takes those.
Especially if you care, because caring
absolutely.
And sharing, and
exactly.
it's the willingness.
And listen, this is not just caring about that other person. This is caring about yourself. Like, am I capable of dealing with someone that way? If I'm not that way, so you, it's about caring about yourself, you know. And so it's really important that we pay attention to these things. One other thing from a listener, it says, be sure, and I want you to respond to this, Phoenix, be sure that an apology is simply owning up to my mistakes rather than an act of submission.
Wow. It never ceases to amaze me. Yes, because they're diametrically different. I mean, when you own up to something that you do,
mm-hmm.
it should be simplistic. It should be straightforward. It should be without ambiguity. You know, if you know you've done X, Y, it doesn't even have to be Z. I know I've done X and Y. And I'm here to stand up as a man and say, you know what, honey? I've made a grave error in this relationship, and I've done X and Y, and I beg for your forgiveness. Will you forgive me? It's straightforward. That
yeah.
person has the opportunity. But if you turn around and you make yourself the victim, which is a part of sometimes being submissive to what the issue is, especially if it's toxic, then you've compounded the problem.
Or you can
simply say,
Explain, give me an example.
In other words, let's say it's a control issue and your mate wants to do everything that is one-sided. And you say, you know what, in order to keep the peace, I'm just going to keep functioning under that tyranny. I'm going to continue to do the things that she wants me to do. Now, you've submitted to something that you're uncomfortable with, obviously.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And in doing so, you've compounded the problem, as opposed to saying, you know, honey, you made this decision. I went along with it. Made that decision. I went along with it. But everything cannot be one-sided. Love is a give and take. Is there some leeway here? Is there something that maybe you could make certain concessions to? And it's an open, honest, and frank discussion, and that's aborted, then there's an issue that needs to be worked out. But if you sweep it under the rug, so to speak, now you've compounded the problem. So, yes, it's okay to say, I've personally made a mistake, and I'm begging your forgiveness for the mistakes that I've made, and I'm doing it. And don't, you know, it's so funny. I've taught voice for many, many, many years. And one of the things I'm always cognizant of, you know, you can say, I love you. I love you. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love you. You could say the same word five different ways and have five different meanings. So don't say, do you forgive me? I'm sorry. You know, that translates a whole different thing. And it's often equated to throwing a ball to a young child. You don't throw it overhanded. You throw it underhanded. You throw it with the idea that you want the child to catch it. Not to say that our mate is a child, but you do it gingerly. When you ask for forgiveness, you put yourself in a certain mode that should reflect a sincerity. But if you say it in a sense where it's just a mere formality, don't think the other one doesn't understand it. Because it transcends through the way you say I'm sorry. And I've been the recipient of that. Someone saying they're sorry. And I'm saying, I could tell by the way you said that. You didn't really mean it. It was just perfunctory. You just said it to get over the particular situation. But I said I'm sorry. And it's like, oh, see, now we've unearthed an entirely different issue. See? So say it like you mean it, or mean it like you say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... You know, relationships are something else, man. And
complex.
But, but when it's beautiful, Lord have mercy, it is good. And that's what we fight for, right? That's what we're all fighting for. It's just to be happy in a relationship with someone. If you're in a relationship with someone, you're fighting for a good relationship. I always love it when I see someone looking like they're so happy. I'm like, man, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to witness and stuff. And I just pray that it's always like that and not just a show, but it's always like that, you know. But we have to work on it because I think somebody says something about, let me see here. A relationship without fighting is impossible. So fight productively in order to accomplish something. That is wisdom for me right there. Because we're going to disagree, you know, and it's your words. You can choose what you want. You want to call it fighting or disagree or arguing or whatever the case is. But that's going to happen. It's because we're two different people with two different thoughts and two different feelings. It's going to happen. But it's how you deal with the storm, how you deal with the fight. It's how you conduct yourself in it. And what they're saying is just do it productively. So we can win together. We can win together if we do this productively. But if you got one person on one side trying to do it productively and the other one on the other side, I don't care, whatever you say, that kind of thing, that relationship is doomed. Eventually, it is going to crash and burn. If you got two different types of people in the same boat
and one's paddling one way and one's paddling the other way, you're not going anywhere. You're going to stay right there in the land of stupidness. Sorry about that.
Well, fighting can be interpreted in many different ways, but when you fight for what is right, you know, when your modus operandi is, you know what, I'm going to fight for you. Not for me. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to take myself, I, out of the equation. I'm going to look at a we and an us. And when you do that, I found it's been very fruitful. You know, when your mate can see, you know what, no matter what, you fight for us. You really put forth the effort. And as men, we know when we're doing the right thing. We may not say it to our buddies. We might point the finger. But we know when we do the right thing. A murderer knows when he pulls the trigger and he holds the gun in his hand and he shoots an innocent man. He doesn't have to wait to go to trial and for the judge to execute punishment. He knew when he pulled the trigger it was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so man up, girl up, as it is. You know, do what is required to fight for what is right, to fight in what's called righteousness. You know, there's an expression I use a lot. It's called righteous indignation. Beautiful expression. I got that from scriptural understandings. But when you have righteous indignation, you're unhinged. Like if you see someone abusing a child, you have righteous indignation. You're like, how dare you abuse that child? Or you see someone abuse an animal, a poor defenseless. I saw on YouTube the other day, they took this huge pit bull and they tied him to a tree and they walked away. They got in the car and left this poor pit bull latched to a tree in the middle of nowhere. A passerby came by, looked around, decided to give the dog some water, wasn't really taking the fact that he looked too ferocious, and he went on to take the animal home because he recognized over a protracted period of time somebody got tired of this animal and left the animal in the forest.
Tied up.
This is righteous indignation, dude. And so, you know, yes, fight for what is right. Beautiful.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Please, we all need to do that. Yes, absolutely. So, all right. Well, we got a little bit more, about 5 minutes left. So, you know, you kind of said a closing thing there, but if there's anything else you would like to say, let me see if there's anything else that's in the books here. When we have physical pain, we take medication, but when we are in emotional pain, we choose to suffer.
Very true.
Wow.
And it becomes counterproductive, you know. You know, when there's a problem, my dad was a mathematician. He used to always use this expression that still echoes to me beyond the grave. He said, problems are meant to be solved. If there's a problem, take the appropriate action to solve it. Don't let it become so insurmountable that by the time you go to the doctor, it's irreversible. You know, if there's a problem, take the appropriate measure to solve them. You said something earlier that I thought was very apropos. Don't let it become to the point where you mount up and build up this animosity and you don't address it. You don't give your mate a chance to rectify it. It's important. It's important to solve the problem. And I think that's very appropriate with today's topic. If you see something that is getting out of hand, find a time, approach them and say, is this a good time? I always find that's important. Is this a good time? Can we talk about this? Yes. And then state your case in a way that is non-confrontational, which takes practice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and practice how you're going to approach it. Because if
Absolutely.
You come across the wrong way, you can send up smoke signals before mm-hmm. the fire even gets started.
Yes. Man, oh man, this has been good. Thank you, man. Thank you so much, Phoenix. I do appreciate you taking out the time. And so I just want, you know, you guys to know that Phoenix won't be here this Thursday. So on this Thursday, we will keep you posted as to what we're going to chop up about it. So just have a blessed rest of your week, Phoenix, and we look forward to chopping up with you again next Tuesday. And
Absolutely. Thank you.
We really appreciate your time. I want you to know that from the bottom of my heart, you know, you are a very a good man. And that's for lack of a better phrase, but, you know, I was trying to think of something more intelligent to say, but that is the truth. You're a good man, and we appreciate you so much, all right?
Thank you. Likewise. It's reciprocal, bro. I mean, I always find that you always see the lighter side of darkness, and you always try to find a way to say, to pay attention and to have self-motivating love, which is what the world needs. There was a song, what the world needs now is love, 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 not just for some, but for everyone.
What the world needs now. Oh, Lord, that sounds so good.
Here we go. Excellent.
All right, I'm just playing. Y'all know I want to sing, but they won't even let me sing in church, Phoenix. It's bad. It's so bad, I can't even sing in church. All right, come on, guys. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Anyway, all right, man. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm getting messages from the boss man saying don't sing. Oh, they just haters. They're haters, Phoenix. What do you do about those kind of people? Anyway, guys, we appreciate you.
Practice.
Yes, and so like
okay,
Phoenix
man,
said.
We'll enjoy.
All right, like Phoenix said earlier in the show, lift me up. We need to lift each other up. So here we go.
There's no way we can triumph without struggle. I'm just like you, why you trying to bring me down? I'm just like you, help me turn this thing around. I dream at night of a better day. You and I in a better place. Don't know how, but I know that I'll reach it. fell in the climb. Inside a star, there's a hero to discover. There's no way we can triumph without struggle. I'm just like you, why you trying to bring me down? I'm just like you, help me turn this thing around.
Oh, yeah. Woo, I love Nico. That's my boy Nico right there, throwing it down. Lift me up. Don't tear me down. And that was a great show. I really enjoyed, especially the singing part at the end. Woo, man. I'm just trying to irritate Greg. But anyway, guys, much love to Phoenix. Thanks, my brother, for coming on and blessing us. And, you know, I'm so excited about all the stuff going on here. We damn busy with the, you know, interviews and just good people, good talk shows and stuff. And it's really good stimulation mentally for us to chop it up. You know, music is great and all that, but it's like the meat and potatoes. And what we talk about, you know, with each other and share back and forth is really the vegetables. That is the nurturing that we need, you know, so we can have a good time and enjoy the music, but we also need to make sure that we're learning something. That we're being productive, right? We're still young, right? Yeah. So, but anyway, tomorrow, Mandrill will be here tomorrow. Y'all remember Mandrill? See, like this is emotional for me. All right, so I have a Mandrill coming on tomorrow. I was young when those guys was out banging, and I wanted to be in their band. I wanted to be in the band, and all the bands in my neighborhood would play their songs. If you didn't play their songs, you know, you weren't good. You had to be able to kick it, make it slam. And so, oh man. So yeah, I get the honest blessing to sit down with the one of the original members of Mandrill, Rick Wilson, coming on tomorrow. Man. Oh man. By the way, this is something else. You know, we all have our things that we love, like, and so they're like hobbies, right? You know, and like I knew that I wanted to be a musician, a professional musician. I knew that. That was, you know, once I saw the Jackson 5, it was on. I was like, I want to do that, right? And so, but by the time I was still very young, but by the time I got to when I was in high school and I was about to go into college, I knew that I needed to make sure that I had a backup plan. Well, what was going to be your backup plan? You know, so I was kind of confused. My dad owned 3 gas stations, a hardware store, an auto store, and a church. I don't know if he built the church. It, you know, he kind of owned it. He was responsible for all the bills, and he was the one that put it there. But God owns the church. And so, but it was his church, right? And so he had these businesses. So I decided maybe I should do business as a backup plan. Why? What am I thinking? Am I being insecure that I'm not going to be able to make anything in the music business? No, I wasn't being insecure. I was being smart, because you don't know what's going to happen. You can just want something and go for it, but don't mean it's going to happen. There's plenty times I've tried something and it didn't work. Even writing songs and they just suck, right? Like, oh, I don't like that. I'm going to get rid of that. You know, so you got to go for it. It's great to go for it, but you need to have a plan, because in life we just never know, right? And so here I am trying to figure out, okay, so what am I going to do? So I decided to go into business law as my backup plan, right? And so, and I did. And so my whole purpose of saying this to you is that tomorrow when we have Rick from Mandrill, Rick Wilson from Mandrill, he's really Dr. Rick Wilson from Mandrill. He's a heart specialist. He graduated from Harvard. He's really smart. They were driving him around from gig to gig in a limo back to the hospital, taking care of people's hearts. So this guy, wow, And he's a generation before me. I grew up listening to him. So when we were talking, you just don't know. My eyes were filled up. You know, I was like, man, you know, I'm just so proud that I get to, you know. And so when you guys hear him tomorrow and talk to you, you can see what a gentleman, what a nice man he is. And you're going to enjoy the interview. It's going to be very good information, too, for you people that love information. He's going to share his story, and it's you're going to be blessed by it. I know you will. And so tune in tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I promise I won't sing tomorrow, okay? Okay. But we're going to have a good time. And so I got about another 54 minutes of just mixing it up, playing music, all different types of music. Everything that you hear throughout the week here on Soul Light Records Radio, we play it in this hour, right? So I just want to thank you guys so much. Once again, thanks to Phoenix. And thanks to Greg for helping us with this topic. This ended up being really good, and we're really blessed because of it. And, you know, that's what associate producers are supposed to do, right? And so we're really blessed. You know what, Astrid, where is Astrid? Where is that girl? That girl is busy. She's always running around somewhere. Anyway, all right, so we're going to get this music going here, and she's our little sister, so we have to look out for her. She's just a baby. So we got to make sure she's good to go. And plus, she's a girl, so we got to make sure she's good. All right, guys. So let's get going here on Solar Records Radio. We love you. And I'm going to take you back. I'm going to take you back to Jimmy Mac. Oh, Mr. Jimmy Mac. Are you serious?
Jimmy Mac.
tension, yeah, it's all out of place. Tension is rising and it looks like you need an escape away from everything that's holding you down inside.
Take nothing
when we
do that? What? Delto? Okay. I'm going to hold up. But he's played with so many people. But he's been with one band for 28 years. Bad Boy. And now he's just moved into another situation and just having such a wonderful career. And so we're going to chop it up with him because he has a story and he has some new songs and stuff. So on Solar Wants to Dance, we're gonna interview him. I know that we also are talking about autism and dementia this month, and so we're gonna talk about that as well. Okay, so guys, come on and hang out with us. We love you and we appreciate you, and we thank all of our listeners and our guests for blessing us and being a part of Solar Records Radio. So this is a song that I really love. There we go.
Bones.
just hope, that's Dynasty, by the way, and I just hope if we get the chance to go back out again, God willing, he's in control. If we get to go out again, I hope we get to play that song. We never got to play that song live. I think maybe once or something, but I really love that song. I love that bounce, and I love that kind of old school feel, you know. And so, man, oh, man, Dynasty, that was awesome. And then before that, oh, man, this Earth, Wind, and Fire, do they do it well or what? My goodness gracious. I'm like, Fantasy? I got to hear it. I got to hear it. And then right before that, the Upper Room, because we're mixing it up right here on Solar Records Radio and Max City Music. I thank God. And so, yeah, it was great, great, great little mix there. What's up, Don Fleming? Are you in the house? Do I see Don Fleming?
I am here. What's going on?
Oh, my brother. Just trying to be like you. That's all.
Whatever. Whatever.
How you been, man? You good?
I am good. I am good. Can't complain. Enjoyed the Upper Room. So just hanging out.
Yeah. We just had a great, great conversation earlier. And but I just want you to know also that on Saturday, we're going to, you know, talk about dementia and autism. Not autism. Mm-hmm. I keep saying autism. And so you say it for me.
What?
Alzheimer's.
Dementia?
Alzheimer's. Yeah.
Alzheimer's.
So, yeah, but I'm dyslexic, and those two are too close. So, and my wife is an autism specialist. So that's all I hear all the time is autism. So anyway, but on top of that, we're going to have a special guest, and he's been with Confunction. I was told to tell you guys he's been with Confunction for 28 years, and now he's moving on and doing something else. And so he's going to share his story with us. He's an amazing bass player, Eric Young. Look him up on Facebook. You'll get to see. I mean, this guy is a star. He is amazing, and we just love him. I'm sorry. I'm getting yelled at by Greg. I messed up. Yeah. But anyway, we are very fortunate that, you know, to get some great guests on tomorrow. Do you know who we're having tomorrow? Oh, my.
I can't wait. I can't wait for you to tell me.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm keeping it to myself. It's going to be a great show. Don, you got to tune in. We're going to have so much fun. But this is very special because this guy is more than just an artist. He is also a heart specialist.
Oh.
The owner.
All right.
One of the original members from Mandrill. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, those horns. Come on. Oh, my God. Dude, this is my, like, I was like your age when he was out. Like you were, you know, when my groups and stuff was doing something. So he's the generation before me. And you're the generation after me. And so it's the same thing. And so for me to have him on, I'm so excited. I talked to him today, and, man, what a gentleman. Oh, man, and he loves the history. He's like, I want to talk about your career. I was like, no. I don't want to talk about my career. I want to talk about your career, man. Nobody wants to. We already talked about my career. And so he says, well, we could do both. I think we need to mix it up. I said, okay, that's the name of one of our shows, but I guess we could do that. So whatever he wants, like, he's the daddy in the house. So I'm just excited about that. So that's tomorrow on Indie Jazz Day on Solar Records Radio at 3 p.m. And so, yeah, guys, so just tune in on Thursday. I can't wait to Thursday because I get to play all old school music. And I
there
love
you
it.
Go.
I love, 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 love it. But tomorrow, the thing about it I like about Indie Jazz Day, I made it an official day around here for special food, right? Nice. It's like going to a club around here. I have all the, you know, those restaurants on the ocean, on the bay, when they got the jazz. Oh my God, jazz on the ocean. Oh my goodness, that's what I try to make it around here. But this is jazz in the park because there's no water around here. It's nothing but trees and grass and just that's what I do. I actually make it that whole vibe, and so they got the food is ordered in and they bring the food here. It's just a beautiful time because I try to create the environment, not just through the music, but just the whole thing, the atmosphere that is just so it's so beautiful. But anyway, I'm gonna stop talking because I'm starting to hear myself over and over. So what else is going on, man? What's on your agenda for this week?
Man, it's just another day. We're just taking it one day at a time because, you know, tomorrow's not promised, but I'm going to make the best out of it. Hopefully, you know, Lord willing, I'll get a chance to hang out with you for the rest of the week on Soul Art Records Radio. How about that?
Whoa.
Yes, that is a treat.
Yeah.
Yay me.
Man, that is good. Get him back in the saddle. It's all good. Well, anyway, man, so we're going to keep this music going here on Soul Art Records Radio. We just heard a little bit of Dynasty, and that was good. That's always good. And don't forget, we have a single coming out. Actually, it's a 45 coming out on the 1st of December. You can pre-order on the 1st of December our stuff. And so I'm going to, as soon as I get it together, I got to get with Greg and make sure we put this flyer together, you know, so you guys could see it and go and order Dynasty's new 45. What? A 45. And there's an A side and a B side. Is that the same thing? We're not treating you bad like that. Give you the song on the A side, then on the B side it's just the instrumental. No, we're giving you another song on the B side. So, and to me, both of them could be the single. So these two songs are produced by Ricky Freeze from Dynasty. And so it's a whole different type of thing because Ricky Freeze had been with Morris Day and the Time for almost 30 years. So he's developed a different, you know, he's not just a solar guy anymore. He's combined with the
Minneapolis sound.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's all messed up. So he's got both of those things going for him. So the music is different. It's not like what Dynasty would normally do, but Dynasty is doing it. And so it's something, you know, I mean, come on. It's a new deck. We're in another time zone completely. What is this? What century is this now we're in? The 21st century?
The 21st century, yeah.
So it's another story than when we were doing Dynasty before. So we're going to just have a good time. We're going to be blessed. And we're just glad to be doing something. ABC Records is just being a blessing to us. I'm going to bring the owners of the record company on and interview them as to what made you do that. What made you sign Dynasty? And so they'll be coming on and in December as well, and we're going to chop it up with them and just, you know, get this thing all figured out and stuff. And I just love because we're getting so many different artists that are, like, wanting to come on now and tell their story because for some reason people are paying attention to these stories, you know. And I also know that Unsung kind of disappeared for a minute. And so people want to hear these stories. They love these stories. They love the history.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. I think COVID had something to do with it. You know, COVID's always a good excuse for anything.
I'm waiting for another season, man, so they can interview me about you.
We don't want you to tell them too much about my craziness. Oh, man. Well, anyway. So I want to get back to music. Anything you want to say before we get back to it?
No, I wanted to kind of I wanted to kind of, you know, touch a little bit because I wanted to go back because you talked about Ricky Freeze, man, having the best of both worlds.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that, you know, Solar Records plus that whole Minneapolis sound, man, I'm just excited to kind of to hear what that hybrid might mean in the 21st century with a lot of his, you know, upcoming tracks that he's producing and writing on. So, because I was a big fan of both. Again, this isn't, I'm not trying to put on airs or anything like that. I was a big Solar fan. And again, I was a big Minneapolis fan. So to have those things come together, you know, through the vantage point of Ricky Freeze, you know, Brother Freeze, you know, it's, I'm just anticipating what that sound will be. And I mean, he's a talented musician. You're a talented musician. So it's just only a matter of time right now. You know, the product's going to be nice. You're just anticipating it. So,
I'm
looking forward to hearing it.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it as well. And so, guys, we want to thank you guys all for tuning in today to Solar Records Radio. And, you know, we hope you enjoyed the music and the conversations. And we look forward to hanging out with you tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Solar Records Radio as we have a good time with our indie jazz artist tomorrow. Woo, tomorrow. Man, oh, man. Mandrill, I can't believe it. Mandrill's going to be here tomorrow. Woo. All right, guys, we out of here. See you later, Don.
Oh, you're going to love me. You're going to want to hug me and squeeze me.
Thank you.
you in my arms.
For the love that I give to you.
Guys, God bless you. May God protect you and keep you. Thank you for everything. Thanks for tuning in and be a part of the Solar Records Radio. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate you, brother. You guys all have a blessed night. And hope you enjoyed your stuff.
Tell me, are you here alone? Like a poolside chair.